This morning's gospel text comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. If you have God's Word there in front of you, it's John 16, beginning at verse 16, in Jesus' name. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Some of his disciples, and said to one another, "What is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father?" So they were saying, "What is it that he is saying? A little while. We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, "Are you deliberating something about this, that I said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will grieve. But your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because of her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that the child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you." Let us pray. Lord, today again, we just pray that you'll open up this portion of Scripture to us, reveal it in a new and exciting way, Lord, that as we can take and continue to grow in your word and in your love, that our faith and our joy will continue to grow. In thy name we pray. Amen. Surprised by joy. I always find these third Sundays kind of interesting because I never know what's going to be shared. And they were talking about joy today, talking about faith, but it's interesting how God brings everything together when it's his word. Christian doctrine is marked by the cross and the empty tomb. These are the landmarks that which we as Christians live by. And it is through God's word that, yes, our faith is confirmed. On the night of Christ's arrest, there was so much fear, there was so much trembling, there was so much sorrow that his disciples scattered. Following that Last Supper, Jesus took his disciples, all of them except Judas, because Judas by this time had already departed, and he went in to the garden of prayer, to a very private garden called Gethsemane. It was his favorite place to go pray. It was amongst the olive trees. And they were walking to the garden when Jesus had told his disciples, "In a little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me." His disciples were confused. They did not understand. We know the rest of the story. But just put your place in their place for a moment. What did Jesus mean? Where is he going with this? He needed to explain to his disciples the turn of events that were to take place. After Christ's resurrection, on that very first Easter morn, Jesus appeared to some of his family members, and they rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the others. As they were telling the disciples in that upper room, Jesus appeared amongst them. He showed them the nail prints of his hands and of his feet. He allowed them to touch so that they could understand that they were not seeing a ghost. They were surprised by joy to see Jesus. Luke chapter 24 tells us that Jesus was dealing with his disciples there also. But it tells us there in the 24th chapter of Luke that the disciples believed not for joy. They were accepting what they saw. They accepted what they heard, but it wasn't with great joy at that moment. There's a difference between unbelief and disbelief. The difference is that unbelief means they did not believe in Jesus Christ. They simply didn't believe. That's disbelief. That's unbelief. Disbelief, rather, is that what is happening before you is incredible, and it's very hard to accept as things happening before you. Do you see the difference between unbelief and disbelief? In the midst of all of this disbelief for the disciples, they really truly were surprised by the joy that they received. They couldn't understand how this great degree of joy had all of a sudden become theirs when they thought there was no more hope, when they thought all was lost. Number one, they would not see Jesus because of his death. Jesus had said, "In a little while, you will not see me." Sometimes when Jesus speaks about these little whiles, sometimes when he's speaking of the light of eternity. We don't know what that little while or how long that little while is going to be. But what we find here in this text that Jesus was speaking to his disciples, that he was speaking to the mortals. He was speaking just a little while to the mortals, to the little time, to understanding in their time of what little time meant, or a little while. Many of Christ's predictions, though, for things that would happen in the future. Things that are even going to be happening in the last days. But Jesus spoke this little while twice when he was speaking to those disciples that day. They were not going to be able to see him. It was a reference to that very next day that Christ was to be crucified, put to death on the cross. And then he was going to be laid in a borrowed tomb. That night, as he prayed in that Garden of Gethsemane, Judas came with a band of soldiers from the temple, and they arrested him. Jesus was hastily tried by Caiaphas, taken away. The Jewish Sanhedrin had their say. But the Jewish regulations would not allow them to put anyone to death. They were not allowed to do capital punishment. So the Jews had to get the Romans involved. And that's why Jesus got turned over to Pilate. 9 a.m. that morning, Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross. At 3 p.m., Jesus died. He gave up his spirit and died. It usually takes much longer than 6 hours for someone to die on the cross because they literally they suffocate as their lungs fill up with the moisture and the water. And they end up and they actually suffocate as they hang on the cross. They can no longer breathe. And so it sometimes takes a long time for someone to suffocate and to die on the cross. But I want to remind you that it wasn't the cross that killed Jesus. You know, we so oftentimes talk about the cruel cross. Christ died on the cross. I want to remind you that the cross wasn't what killed him. Men cannot kill God. Christ, as he said on the cross, listen to his words, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Jesus freely gave up his life and his spirit for who? For you and for me. Jesus gave it up willingly lay down his life because no one could take Jesus' life. He voluntarily died for you and I to pay a debt that you and I could not pay, the debt of our sin. The prediction came true. His friends did not see him. Why? Because his body was sealed in a tomb. Number two, they would not see him, they would see him because of the resurrection. That second little while, 3 days later, on that first Easter morning, the women came to the tomb and they found a messenger from God telling them, Jesus is not here. He is risen. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Time and time again, we need to be reminded of that. That Jesus is risen. He is not here. They went and told Peter. They told John. They came to see for themselves that the tomb was empty. The grave clothes were lying there. But there was no Jesus to be found. That day, Jesus appeared to several of his friends and family. During that day and that evening, he revealed himself to all of the disciples who were gathered in that upper room. Everybody knows Little Harold. Little Harold has an attention deficit disorder. Little Harold was in Sunday school. His Sunday school teacher dealt with Harold week after week, and Harold never seemed to listen. On Palm Sunday, the teacher decided to do an experiment. She took and gave each one of her students in her class a plastic Easter egg and sent it home with them, told them to put something inside that egg that would remind them of Easter, and then to bring that back on Easter Sunday morning. Easter Sunday morning, she gathered her class, and Harold had taken his egg home with him, but the teacher figured, well, he won't bring it back, so we're not even going to worry about little Harold. We're just going to kind of let him be. And the kids all came back with their egg, and they were all excited. Even Harold had his egg with him. Each one of the students went through and opened up and shared what they had inside their Easter egg that would remind them of Easter and the risen Lord and Savior. One of the eggs that was opened up had a spring flower in it, new life. There was the cross in one of the eggs. One of the eggs, there was a butterfly. The teacher was making comment after comment and drawing these in to the Easter story. Then came little Harold's. He opened it up. There was nothing in it. The teacher decided to keep moving and not comment on Harold's empty egg. Little Harold says, "Teacher, you didn't ask me about my egg. You didn't comment on my egg. Why not?" Teacher looked at little Harold and said, "You have nothing in your egg." Little Harold said, "Yes, that's right, teacher. There's nothing in my egg because it reminds me that the tomb is empty." Dead silence. But what a lesson we can learn from little Harold. Time and again, we do not think of the importance of things, but rather think of the big picture when sometimes we need to look at those smaller little details. The second little while came. It came true. The disciples saw their resurrected Lord and Savior. They got to worship with him. Boy, were they surprised by joy, the joy that overturned them. Number three, their sorrow would turn to even greater joy. Did you know that Jesus was bruised and bloodied for you and for me? For your sins, my sins, your transactions, my transactions. So oftentimes, we don't make it personal. It's so much easier to say for our sin instead of saying for my sin, Jesus died. It becomes a little more real when we apply it personal. And to realize that what Jesus did for us means that we are freed from God's court. From God's court, as a child of his, we do not need to worry about the wrath of God. We don't have to worry about the punishment, the eternal damnation. Can we realize the joy that we are finding in this as we hang on to that? There's no greater joy than going home to be with Jesus. And that's that permanent joy that Jesus speaks of. When we receive that permanent joy in heaven, Christ's disciples were sad. And Christ knew they were going to go through this. But he says, there's going to be joy again. Jesus tells his disciples, don't be sad. I know it's going to be hard, but I want you to understand what I have for you. Because then Jesus said, one day your joy will turn into a permanent joy. It's a good reminder for each one of us this morning that if we just let Jesus take our worries, if we put those worries on the cross and let them die, that we don't have to carry them around. Jesus will take care of them. It can give us a joy then to carry us through anything. You know, Christians have bad days. And it's interesting when you hear that Christians aren't supposed to have bad days. But Christians have bad days just like the other people of this world. They have days when things don't go right. They have all kinds of calamities in their lives. But as Christians, we can have a peace and a joy inside, because we can go to God and ask him to help us deal with it. Help us to feel his joy again. Why? Because he's promised all things are to work out for the good for them that love him. Christ was bruised, but his bruising brought healing. Christ was pierced to ease our pain. Christ was persecuted that brought us freedom. Christ was dead but brings life to those who believe. Christ is risen and gives us power over death. Christ reigns and brings peace to all who trust him. Christ comforts and brings joy to his children. The world cannot understand Christ. The armies of the world cannot defeat Christ. The schools cannot explain Christ. Leaders cannot ignore Christ. The Pharisees could not confound Jesus. Pilate could not kill Jesus. The grave could not hold Jesus. So when I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives me. When I am weak, he is strong. When I am lost, he is the way. When I am afraid, he is my courage. He encourages so much. When I stumble, he is my strength. When I hurt, he heals me. When I am broken, he mends me. And when I am hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he never leaves me. When I face problems, he comforts me. And when I face loss, he provides for me. And when I face death, Christ will carry me home. Each and every one of you here today can have joy in spite of all the sorrow. Why can we have joy in spite of all the sorrow? It's because if we believe in Jesus Christ and we accept him as the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that settles it. It settles it all because God's in control then. And through him, I can have perfect peace and joy because Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Excuse me. Isn't that a joy to claim that? Amen. Lord, today again, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the tenderness of how you dealt with your disciples with their sorrow and their joy. And Lord, how you deal with each one of us. Lord, thank you. Lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen.